Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's probably 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're listening to All Fly Us to the Moon Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about it by going up to my website at glib.com. That's glib.com. When you get up to glib.com, you're going to see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seemed to be working all right as we recorded this program. This is our 114th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these still dangerous times. And in the big announcement for the whole world this past week, we have lost 2 more followers on Twitter. Now we are down to 123 followers. Still a gigantic number on Twitter. So I wonder, are people just leaving Twitter now that Leon Scum has taken it over? That may be it, or maybe they just don't like us. I don't know. We've lost more followers suddenly here, and I don't know. Hope it's not something we did. Hope it's something he did. So who knows what's going to happen to Twitter? It may become something where there's nothing left of it. I just don't know. And we have a programming note. We were preempted last week. It was very sudden. We were up there to be on the schedule. We have a 52-week schedule from the general manager, and it said when we were supposed to be on and when we were supposed to be preempted. I, in fact, put a copy of that up on glib.com on the back of the book page up there, which you can get to by going to glib.com, and you can see there's a thing up there that says skip right to the back of the book page. Click on that, you get to that page. And you look on it, you scroll down, you'll find out that we have a schedule. Well, I had the schedule up there, and we only got confirmation on Friday afternoon that we were preempted. So, you know, Friday afternoon, we're about to start recording, pretty much. I mean, we didn't start recording because we suddenly saw, gee, the schedule is funny. That's all we had. Management didn't tell us we were preempted ahead of time. We just saw the schedule looked funny. What's happening here? And so we wrote to management, and, well, we wrote to them on Thursday, and it was Friday afternoon before they said, you're preempted last week. We hope we're on this week. And so, yeah, so this is a problem. And, you know, I still haven't heard from management regarding how are they going to handle the schedule now. They were very hot that the schedule they sent was ironclad and had to be adhered to. And then we got preempted very suddenly. Going to have more of that, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. So we're sorry that happened for those of you who may have tuned in. When I find out about things like that, I do post to Twitter to let folks know. There's not much else I can do. We can't post up on BAI to say, hey, we're preempted, but I could post to Twitter to say we're preempted. So there you are. So right now, we're here, and we should be here a little bit more. And again, up on glib.com is our schedule, and that's what we know about. I will change that if it changes yet again. The WBAI local station board is going to meet on December 7th, 2022, but that's going to be a meeting in executive session, so you won't be able to hear it. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, December 14th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a meeting since the last program. The LSB passed a motion that listeners can contact the LSB. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. It's supposed to be an email thing. I don't know how they're going to work that out. Management was also told to set up a phone number to call the LSB. I don't think that's going to happen at all. The LSB was also presented with an impossibly complicated motion, which may be out of order. I got it postponed till we can find out if it's even in order. And people just throw in every bit of language they can think of sometimes and call it a motion. And once again, certain LSB members showed that they are hardly familiar with WBAI at all. They really should know more about this radio station and what's on the air that they like or don't like. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 637,550,769 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,619,528. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 98,283,754, and the death toll in America had reached 1,076,835. So 4,480 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. Since we were preempted, that makes the weekly average 2,240 deaths per week, which is slightly higher than the previous weekly death toll. So it's not exactly as if the pandemic is over. There's no telling what the real figures are, but we know that they're higher than what we've quoted. But this is the information we have. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are keeping our masks on. It's been more than 2 weeks since I got my bivalent vaccination, so I was thinking that I ought to have built up my maximum immunity at this point. Pfizer, however, has issued a statement saying that I will have maximum immunity against the BA.5 variant that has been dominant for the last couple of months. But now there are more variants, a couple of which look like they're going to become the dominant ones soon. The variants are BQ.1 and BQ.1.1. And according to the CDC, as of last week, the BA.5 variant was responsible for about 30% of new cases in the United States. The BQ.1.1 variant accounted for about 24% of cases in the United States, and the BQ.1 variant accounts for about 20% of cases. A study has shown that adults 55 and older experienced a nearly 9 times jump in antibodies against BQ.1.1 a month after receiving the updated booster. So next week, I should be really in good shape to resist those new variants. Pickles of the North got her bivalent shot quite a while ago and is in great shape with that. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable, and we know the people who could have prevented it. The Russian invasion of Ukraine has notched up to even worse humanitarian atrocities. They're really going after the civilian population. They started that early in the war, and they're getting worse with that kind of thing now. And this past fortnight, it looks like a Ukrainian air defense rocket landed in Poland and killed two people, which is terribly unfortunate. Of course, the Ukrainians would not have been firing an air defense rocket if the Russians weren't bombarding Ukraine's civilian population and destroying power and other infrastructure targets in an effort to increase the suffering of people as winter hits. That's what they're doing. And so this is part of what's going on. Yeah, things will happen. It's possible the Ukrainian rocket just shot off in a bad direction. Rockets aren't always perfect. It's also possible they shot some rockets at a Russian rocket coming in, and maybe they blew up the Russian rocket, but it blew the Ukrainian anti-aircraft rocket off course. So, yeah, this is bad stuff. However, at least we didn't have World War III from that yet. I heard something about the, quote, law of attraction, unquote, hoax. And yeah, that's a hoax. This is basically a thing that has been around since the 19th century that says if you think about something and you really want it, you get it. And the law of attraction, no law whatsoever, it's make-believe, was coined by Madame Blavatsky. Madame Blavatsky is this now rather comical figure. She was actually comical back then, too. This comical figure who was a theosophist, which is something else that is bizarre and sort of fits in with the second half of the 19th century when people were trying to think things through and pseudoscience started popping up all over the place. Law of attraction isn't even pseudoscience. It's just a way of getting money out of other people. Anyway, it's so stupid stuff. This law of attraction thing is a scam, a total scam. I wonder how many believers in that nonsense were busy attracting the winning numbers for the $2 billion Powerball a week ago. Yeah, it was $2 billion. Certainly, there must have been some believers in the so-called law of attraction hoax for them to say, yeah, I'm going to win it. Yes, yes, I'm going to think the thoughts that make it so I win the $2 billion. Well, I note that one person won the $2 billion lottery. And, gee, you know, if all those people were trying for it, you would figure that it would be distributed among a bunch of different people because it's a set of numbers. And didn't they get the right numbers somehow? Didn't the law of attraction make it so that they got the right numbers? Oh, I guess not. It's because the law of attraction's a hoax. And anyway, so yeah, one person got it. And, you know, people have been wishing for things for as long as there have been people, but they don't get what they want from just wishing. And this is like a stupid thing. It also has the other downside of it. If you don't get it, it means you've not done well enough. You've failed. And stuff like that. So it's terrible. If you have cancer, you caused your cancer. And things like this. It's really just awful stuff. You know, we got Jiminy Cricket in Pinocchio, talking about, you know, when you wish upon a star. Well, this thing is pretty much like that, basing it on Jiminy Cricket to run your life. And God, how awful it is that some people are tricking other people with this law of attraction hoax to line their pockets. I want to rant a little bit for just a few seconds here. Firefox 107. just before we were ready to come out here and record, I was still typing stuff up, getting things ready for the program. I said, you know, what happens sometimes is when I've had the computer on for a while and I start editing, the editing software crashes because I have to edit the audio. And so I don't want that to happen. So I'll reboot the computer and all of that stuff. And it said, oh, Firefox wants you to update. So I said, since I'm, doing a reboot, I'll update Firefox. So I did. And so everything, computer comes back on, you know, and I click on Firefox and I say, what the bleep is this? Completely different looking. My toolbars are gone. All of my preferences are gone. It looks, after a while, I figured out it looks like maybe my bookmarks are still there, but they're not as accessible as they used to be. And I can't figure out how to get things to be the way they used to be. And it's entirely possible, looking through files on the computer, that this update blew away all of my preferences, and I may have to start working on a great many things to replace them. Because I have, you know, I've been using a browser for, 1994? So how long is that? Oh, hell. So that's like, 26 years of, 26 years or so of, oh, 28 years. 28 years of being on the web. I was there pretty soon after it started going. And I've built up preferences over time for places to go and like that. And I migrate over the years. That may all be gone. And some of the, again, some of the bookmarks are there, but they're not arranged. So you want to talk about losing information. Don't need a black hole for this one, but Firefox 107.0 may be a big disaster, and I am PO'd. It also cost us a lot of time in preparation for this program. Ah. So we had elections, and it wasn't as bad as everybody thought it would be. And, of course, the other day, Trump announced his candidacy for 2024. He's going to run for president. In hopes that running for president will prevent him from being prosecuted. I see that the Justice Department has now appointed a special counsel to investigate and maybe prosecute Trump. So Donnie Bonespur Trump may be trying to get away with everything, but oh boy, I hope they get him, and I really do want to see him in prison. And speaking of the elections, there were all sorts of things that happened. The Democrats managed, of course, to get 50 seats, which means they cannot be in a minority. And we have the big fight coming up in Georgia between Warnock and that idiot Herschel Walker. I mean, he says amazingly stupid things. How can anybody vote for a fool like that? Anyway, so we have that coming up, and oh boy, you know whom I hope wins that race, because 51-49 is a lot better than 50-50. So there were some other results that happened from all of this, and one of them was very interesting. Two lesbians won election as governors. Yeah, this past Tuesday, Democrat Maura Healey became the first lesbian elected governor of Massachusetts. She's also the first woman elected to be governor of Massachusetts. The last count we have is that Ms. Healey had 63.6% of the vote, while her Republican opponent, Jeff Deal, had 34.7%. Yeah, she's going to win this. On the other side of the continent, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Tina Kotek, who's also a lesbian, won in a much tighter three-way gubernatorial contest in Oregon. She got 47% of the vote, while Republican Christine Drazen had 43.6%, and independent candidate Betsy Johnson had 8.7%. Interestingly, all three candidates for governor of Oregon were women. And so this is interesting. This is great stuff. Two lesbians got elected to be governors in the same election. Now, Oregon had already had Kate Brown, who's bisexual, as governor, and she couldn't run again because of term limits. And so we also had Colorado had Jared Polis. He was the first openly gay man elected as governor in 2018, and he won re-election this past Tuesday. So this is good. These gay and lesbian candidates are doing so well. Now, of course, as governors, we're not really as openly gay, lesbian, whatever, governors, LGBTQ, plus infinity, governors, we're not going to count New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy, because he only came out as a part of his resignation speech after a scandal where, you know, things went south for him. And, well, we won't get into all of that, but he was in the closet for his whole time as governor, so he doesn't count. And meanwhile, the Senate voted 62-37 to move the marriage equality bill legislation forward. This is important stuff. The 12 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats and independents in favor of moving it forward. And this particular thing, moving it forward, gets the bill debated and it can go on, it can be voted on. And however, this means they can stop a Republican filibuster with the votes they have. Because the Republicans can just go and you need 60 votes to stop a filibuster. And so they voted for that, and an amendment was made adding some crap about religious liberty. I don't like that too much. So when this bill gets passed by the Senate, it will go back to the House of Representatives where the original had already passed, and then they will have to vote on it. They will probably vote for it, even with that religious liberty crap in it, which is, you know, going to make a problem, I think. They're going to go and they'll probably vote for that in the House. And then it goes to President Biden, who's definitely going to sign it into federal law. And we'll see now if the Supreme Court tries to overturn that. Of course, the reason for this is that when they shot down Roe v. Wade, Clarence Thomas, that despicable creep, wrote about, yeah, and next we're going to go after marriage stuff and same-gender marriage and this, that, and the other. He has a list. He has a little list. And same-gender marriage is on it. And by the way, this bill, just to sort of stick it to him, makes same-gender marriage legal. It also makes interracial marriage legal because it's not legal on a federal level. Only on the state. It's only because the Supreme Court ruled you can't have a law against different races marrying. And of course, Justice Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman. Oh boy. So I think they were sort of sticking it to him a little bit there. And so it's going to be signed into law. We'll see if they try to mess with it. We'll see if they try to like strike down the same gender part and leave the racial part of it together. But there we go. We'll see how this works. Federal law, here it comes. And I was thinking about this, two lesbians in the same election getting elected to be governors. This marriage equality bill is going to pass now. I was thinking about stuff 50 years ago when we were trying to make these things happen, and we were trying to just say, we want a gay rights bill. That's what we came up with. And, you know, the gay liberation movement starts, of course, with the Stonewall and all that. Before that, you had homophile organizations like the Mattachine Society or the Daughters of Bilitis, which is a lesbian group, and things like that. And you had them, and they were, those groups were wanting it, but they couldn't get very far. Then you had the Stonewall, and now you had a younger generation really getting fired up. And people started the Gay Liberation Front, and they wanted, you know, gay rights and the equality. And of course, it was gay liberation was a part of other things for the Gay Liberation Front. They also wanted the revolution, whatever that was. For a lot of them, it was worldwide communist revolution. And there were speeches about how, yes, we want gay liberation. It was called gay liberation. We didn't have LGBT plus infinity then. Gay pretty much covered everybody. And we want gay liberation, but we have to make that happen after worldwide communist revolution. And they would go on about this stuff. And they were just a lot of people who were well-meaning, but some of whom were big mouths who really couldn't put a thought together. And so some people from GLF got together and said, look, we all agree this stuff needs to happen. Gay Liberation Front is never going to do it. You know, these people who can't even have a meeting that works, this will never happen. The way things really happen in the real world is very different. So they founded the Gay Activists Alliance. And the Gay Activists Alliance had pretty much the same goals as the Gay Liberation Front, except it was a one-issue organization focused on gay liberation, which wasn't specifically defined. We didn't say anything about worldwide communist revolution. We didn't say things about other topics either. We went right for gay liberation. And one of the things that came up was, yeah, we do need, there ought to be a law. And this was something that was talked about. It especially came to a head after the first Christopher Street Liberation Day March, which became known eventually as the Pride March, in June of 1970. And we talked about that at Gay Activist Alliance meetings about rights and all of this and how to do it. And after that march, it really became an issue because some people got fired. They were seen by their employers, or they were somehow found by other people. Some people were fired from jobs. Some people were got into a lot of problems because people saw them. You know, landlords could say, hey, you're queer. Get out of here. You can't rent in an apartment in my building. And they could get away with that. And so we had a meeting, a committee meeting, not the whole GAA. We had a committee meeting after the march, and we were talking about it, and people were saying, you know, if we could get a law passed that prevents things like being fired for being gay, then we could get more people into the march. We could get more people in GAA and more gay activists. And that was really the start of looking for, really working for concrete gay rights. And it went on from there. And we had a committee on this, and I was in the committee. And I was there the night we voted to do that, to put forward this thing. And a guy named Richie Amato from Long Island wrote the first gay rights bill in America. He wrote, because he was in politics, and he knew how these things worked. He said, okay, you got to go get the politicians. You get this one, that one, the other one. And you say, you want this to work. And we had already been going around with something called the Greitzer petition. Carol Greitzer was the city council, New York City Council representative from Greenwich Village. And in general, people said, hey, since she's the Greenwich Village rep, there are a lot of gay people in Greenwich Village, a lot of out gay people in Greenwich Village, not nearly as many as there are now, of course. There are probably more out gay and lesbian people in Podunk now than there were in Greenwich Village in 1970. They said, we'll get a petition together and we'll go to her and she will introduce our bill. And we didn't have a bill yet, but Richie Amato wrote it and we voted to have this. And I remember Sylvia Rivera was there, and it almost became a physical confrontation because Carol Greitzer wouldn't talk to any of us. She wouldn't accept the petition. And I was going out on that petition and saying, yeah, would you sign this petition? I remember having to explain to people in Greenwich Village what gay meant. We did all of that, and we ended up getting a bill written, and we couldn't get Carol Greitzer to really do it. But other city council members heard about this. And I said, oh, let's look at what you propose. And since we did by that point have a bill written, we could say, here, look at this. It's to amend the New York City Omnibus Civil Rights Bill, Civil Rights Law, with just putting in some phrases that would make it so that gay and lesbian people would be protected. And so a couple of people on the city council said, okay, I'll sponsor this. And so they said, okay, we'll do this. It's a coherent a bill. It makes sense. We can believe in this. And it became the Klingon, Burden, Skolnick, and Weiss bill eventually. Klingon was the first person to go for it, to say, I'll sponsor it. And so we got it, and we went, and we had hearings on it. And oh, boy, I was in the front row for the first hearings. And it was quite a very interesting experience with people screaming and yelling, and one woman talking about, I don't know, molesting trees or something. It was, oh, God, she was, we were going to molest trees. There were some crazy people who showed up. And not all of them had a thing about their God being against us. Those were crazy, too. So we had that. And, you know, I'm thinking back on those days when we had things sort of all over the place. We could go for that, but we also had marriage equality we were going for. In fact, there is a video up on YouTube by Randy Wicker that has a video, black and white video, old-fashioned videotape, of a GAA zap of the Marriage Bureau. And I'm in there, but I'm hard to see because I'm right up against the people we're zapping. And you see the back of my head, and you wouldn't recognize it now, but I'm the short guy who has hair all the way down to his waist, pretty much. And I have a lot of hair. And at one point, in fact, my face, because people pass by and the camera's on, at one point, my face, like, for two frames, slides by and takes up the whole visage of it all. Anyway, we were in that. We were going for marriage stuff. We weren't quite sure how we were going to get that. We did zaps and things. We also zapped various places that wouldn't lend money to people and all sorts of things like that that we were zapping. We would go after political candidates. Will you support gay rights? And a lot of time, again, we had to explain what the hell we were talking about. And most of the time, they said, bleep you. And, we had lots of stuff going on like that. And I think back to then with the very focused people, the political people, the cultural people, and the bar people who mostly wanted to be able to go to the bars and not have them raided, which was still happening then. And I think of all the stuff we did, the disparate people, the people who were, they were all in favor of stuff, but they were just not ready to kind of do things. And the people who were, you know, yes, we want this, but they also wanted communist revolution, which we really had a very little of in Gay Activists Alliance because we shut them up. Again, as I've said in the past, we were really lucky that the communists had declared homosexuality a disease of capitalism, because that meant that the various communist groups didn't try to co-opt Gay Activists Alliance. They didn't have to co-opt the Gay Liberation Front because they already co-opted themselves. They were, you know, they were scattered all over the place. They could not focus. GAA could focus. And so we were really lucky that the Communist Party was against us. In fact, the guy who founded the Mattachine Society, his name was Harry Hay. He was a member of the Communist Party. They found out he was queer and they expelled him. And so he's founded the Mattachine Society. And so that's how that all goes. And I'm thinking back to then, to those people and the stuff. And now, two lesbians in one election. elected governors of states. Tremendous stuff. And there's a marriage equality bill. It's going to be passed and signed by the president. Wow. Things have changed. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. We were supposed to be doing a black hole bit on this program, and we did it, but we have some technical problems with it, and we are hoping that we will be back here to do the black hole, continue our discussion of black holes next week. This past week, Artemis 1 finally launched. And I think Pickles of the North should give us the background on Artemis 1, and then we'll talk about what we did this week.
Well, this is the return to human space flight by the United States. Of course, this launch is a test launch, testing out all the systems for the Artemis missions, because they're planning a bunch of them, not only going back to the moon, as the Apollo missions did, but onto asteroids and then Mars, which is a big deal. It's a big bleeping deal. At least in our household, it's a big bleeping deal. A flawless launch, an amazing launch, and one thinks, most of the people there, the majority of people who went out there to Cape Canaveral to see this launch, were not around for any of the Apollo missions.
Yeah.
And this was something so familiar for Apollo and myself, because to see those rockets go up, I mean, it was from, I believe, 69 to 72, all the moon missions, just amazing thing.
Well, didn't they launch? They launched
68.
Yeah.
Christmas,
that,
yes.
They didn't have people in it or anything.
That's right. Well, they had to hurry Apollo 8. That's right. Because they thought the Russians were going to beat them to the moon and have the first, you know, cosmonaut on the moon. Actually, this was misinformation. I guess the spy network wasn't working too well that year. But so they shot Apollo 8 up to the moon in December of 1968. But it was great. And so far, this mission has gone really amazingly well. It's taking 6 days to go to the moon. The Apollo missions took 3. Apparently, and it makes sense, they were carrying human beings. So you want to have the shortest amount of time to get there and back again. So,
well, also, they want to test all their stuff.
Yes.
This is all a test thing. And they're testing like crazy. They're testing how things work in orbit and this particular feature and that device, and everything is getting tested like mad. You know, the idea isn't that it would take, what is it, how many days is this whole mission going to last?
Oh, boy. I think right now I can't remember. It's going to be at least 3 weeks.
Yeah. This is going to be a mission.
December 11th is when they're coming back. They're going to splash down December 11th.
Okay, so it's going to last for some weeks. And, of course, having people go to the moon and then return, that isn't going to take weeks. So the deal is every last thing is being tested there. They even have a Snoopy doll that is there to show the weightlessness that's happening and whether or not things are bouncing around.
And he has a companion, provided by the European Space Agency, Shaun the Sheep. Oh, yes. A claymation favorite in the UK.
Okay. I don't remember Shaun the Sheep, but there you go. And so they've got these things, and they're going to be testing all of the systems just rigorously. And so they had been saying they were going to launch this thing so long ago, and we kept watching. Oh, it's going to launch. It's going to. And then they didn't. And then they had leaks of the hydrogen, and they had a scrub a mission. Then they said they fixed it. Then they had to scrub another mission. And then they said, okay, we're going to go at 1:04 a.m. The window opens this past Wednesday morning, and we're staying up, and we're saying, we got to watch this. And it's going, and we hear there's a leak. A hydrogen leak is happening again. It's very hard to deal with hydrogen because the hydrogen atom is just a proton and an electron. It's the smallest atom. It can fit through holes very easily. So if you have a flaw, it'll leak right through it. The hydrogen molecule is just two hydrogen atoms together, and they will leak too.
But they fixed everything, and it took off on early Wednesday morning.
And we waited, and they launched it. And we were watching that thing, and it's the largest rocket in the world. And, oh boy, that thing puts out a flame. We were there watching it. We were very glad to see it going up like that. And it's wonderful that we're going to try this again and go back to the moon. And from there, they're going to basically make the moon a base so we can go to Mars.
Now, the interesting thing that's going to happen next in the entire trip will take place on Monday, which is November 21st, 7:15 a.m. They're going to be broadcasting on NASA the Orion spacecraft, because that's the name of the spacecraft, Orion. The craft is going to do some maneuvers and enter the lunar orbit. And at one point, it will lose communication, of course, because it will be going on the far side of the moon where you lose contact with the Earth because the moon is in the way. And it's going to be about 60 miles above the lunar surface. And there has not been a craft designed for humans that's been in that orbit since the Apollo missions. So at another point in the mission, it will be, I think, 38,000 miles out. It's going to be at a point where there's two of the Lagrange points that will provide a very steady orbit for it. Again, lots and lots of testing going on. So if you're up and you have the time on Monday morning, I would say tune in. So after all the testing is done, when it's out around the moon, both in the closer orbit and the quite far away orbit, it will return to Earth on December 11th and hopefully splash down in the Pacific. And we'll have lots and lots of information about how the systems worked and how well the little moonikin mannequins did and how the radiation affected them, because they've got them all wired up to, you know, simulate human beings being in there. And then the next mission, I think we'll do more testing. No, actually, I think the next mission is going to be manned. But that's going to be in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think 2024 or something. And then I think we're going to loop around. They're going to do this with humans in there instead of moonikins. And then in 2025, they're looking to land people on the moon again. It's going to be interesting. Also, this past fortnight, the cryptocurrency exchange FTX has collapsed. Two guys, Sam Bankman-Fried and Zhao Gary Wang, started the FTX exchange. They also invented, out of whole cloth, their own native cryptocurrency, FTT. So they have an exchange where you can exchange all sorts of cryptocurrencies. Boy, this is going to be written about in the future. Just the way they wrote about the tulip craze in Holland hundreds of years ago, where people were buying a single tulip bulb and they would sell their houses and use that money to buy a tulip bulb in the hope that 2 days later they'd be able to buy their house back and get a lot of money because they would have resold it. The bigger fool theory is the economic way of looking at this. So Sam Bankman-Fried and Zhao Gary Wang started this FTX exchange and their cryptocurrency FTT. And it was going along because what the hell, why not? In July 2021, FTX raised $900 million, real dollars, at an $18 billion valuation from over 60 investors, including SoftBank, Sequoia Capital, and a whole bunch of other firms. And then Bankman-Fried bought out Zhao's stake in FTX for about $2 billion. So Zhao didn't have to win the lottery. He got to get the bigger fool, Bankman-Fried. Ironic, his part of his last name is Bankman. And he got $2 billion stuck in his pocket, I guess, and walked away. I'm not sure. He might have invested it all in more cryptocurrency, for all I know. FTX was the third largest crypto exchange by volume, which means they had a lot of real and fake money going through it. As of November 11th, FTX is involved in bankruptcy proceedings in the U.S. court system. They're seeking Chapter 11 protection. It's collapsed. I think they're all going to collapse eventually. But really, how stupid do you have to be to take your money and say, oh yeah, I'll invest in this thing, which is all based on what? Solving a puzzle. Oh well, this is the way it goes, folks. Oh, here it comes. Here comes the pitching shift. Yes, we're charging off here on the radio waves saying we got a pitch. All right, this is WBAI New York. Here we go, pitching. And this is WBAI New York, where we're asking you to help us out. WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. As a result, we do not have people selling Chevys on the air. We are not selling cryptocurrency, I hope, on the air. We are not selling suds on the air. We are here asking you to keep us alive. And there are all sorts of financial issues going on here. WBAI has been begging the listeners to keep us alive for, what is it now, almost 63 years at this point. We ask you to call us up and make a pledge to keep us going. And right now we're being asked to see if you will become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy is the name of the sustaining membership we have here at WBAI. And if you're a sustaining member, you are donating to WBAI on a monthly basis. So how you do that is you call 1-212-209-2950 and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You then tell them information on your credit card or your debit card, which is how you'll pay for this stuff, and you tell them what day of the month you want the card charged so that it's convenient for you. Some days are better to have the card charged than others. And so you'll give them some amount of money. Now, it could be $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you want, but I think that's the range most of our listeners can handle. And you can do that and say, yeah, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then once a month, they will take out whatever amount of money you've pledged to come out of your card. So that will help to keep us alive. We need to get more BAI buddies. And the importance of the BAI buddy stuff is it gives management a solid idea of how much money is going to come in any one month. Because otherwise what happens is it comes in here, comes in there. One day suddenly, oh gee, we got to pay a bill. And the bill is three times larger than the money we have cash on hand. It's a cash flow thing. And there's a serious cash flow thing going on through all of Pacifica. BAI is a part of it. And being a BAI buddy gives a steady rate of income that at least part of it can be counted on. We also do accept donations. If you want to make a one-time donation, you can still call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to make a one-time donation to back in the name of Back of the Book and say how much you want to donate. It could be any amount of money, you know, and they'll take it. They'll take it. So I'm not $1. I think the if you pledge $25, you become a member for 1 year of WBAI. And there will be an election coming up, and there may be some bylaws amendments coming up that you have to vote on. So if you're a member and you can vote, you'll be able to vote on all of that good stuff. 1-212-209-2950. That's what we need to hear from you for now. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we do all sorts of things. We talk about black holes. We talk about gay and lesbian stuff, which I just went on about rather a bit. We talk about various different things. We talk about COVID-19 pandemic. We acknowledge it's a pandemic. And we do all sorts of stuff. And yeah, some of these things get covered elsewhere on the air in other stations, but we do it differently. We do it very differently, and we think maybe you'll like it. And my voice is going. And my voice is going to hell on me, but I got a pitch anyway. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. Oh, there's a bell. There's a bell. This bell is going to help to make you pledge. I don't know how that's going to work. 1-212-209-2950. Sometimes that's the cowbell of the cow that's on the tracks from our WBAI pitching train as it comes by. But right now we're saying we just got to raise some money, folks. 1-212-209-2950. We really do have to hear from some folks right here. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. You'll be calling a call center. You're not calling me. And, you know, we don't have a lot of money that goes to staff here at BAI. We have a skeleton staff that's missing a few of its bones here at BAI. Not a lot of money paid in staff. Other Pacifica stations have problems because they have gigantic staffs. We don't have that. We have to do things like pay rent on the studios. We have to pay rent at 4 Times Square, which is where our tower and antenna are located. And we have to pay electricity bills, the usual stuff like that. A radio station uses a lot of electricity, I can tell you, and we get big bills. 1-212-209-2950. Please call us at that number now. Call us now. We need to hear from you. And if you call, you'll be joining some other listeners who have been calling in and have become members of BAI. And you'll be joining folks. You can join Tony, who has pledged in the past. You can also join and you'll be joining George and Bonnie from Northport, and they have donated. There is also Michael from Valhalla, who has donated, and Dorothy from Little Neck has also donated. Join all of those folks. We've got Tony, and more recently we have George and Bonnie and Michael and Dorothy. Please add your name to the list. If you don't want to be thanked on the air, just say you don't want to be thanked on the air, and I won't thank you on air. I will never know it. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. We desperately need to hear from some folks now, and we need to show management we have listeners and that the overnight programs have listeners. You know, if you appreciate or at least attempt to do science stuff and things like that, it would really help to show that you are willing to support us in doing that. Well, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
And we're going to be back here next week, we figure. And you should enjoy yourselves this next week. Just about everybody has time off. If you like celebrating with turkey, have some turkey, have some food, overeat if you want to. If you want to instead go to a demonstration and demonstrate against Thanksgiving, go ahead and do that. We're going to have Uncle Sidney over, probably, because Uncle Sidney got his shots, and we're going to have Uncle Sidney over and celebrate with him. And we hope we're here next week. If not, check my website at glib.com and you'll find out. So, above all, remember what that getting ready to stuff his face Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, lighting your